reserve any time for rebuttal.
Your Honor, let me reserve 2 minutes.
2 minutes, yes, sir. All right, well, we're ready when you are, sir.
Okay. If it pleases the court, I'm Timothy Gresham of the law firm of Penn Stewart and Eskridge. We represent the employer in this case, Paramount Coal Company Virginia LLC, which I will, if I refer to during the argument, will refer to as Paramount LLC, as well as their carrier. This case involves an award of lifetime benefits by the commission with Commissioner Rappaport dissenting. Mr. McCoy, the claimant in this case, had earlier received an award of stage one for pneumoconiosis benefits and then filed for pulmonary for permanent and total disability under section 65.2-504A4 of the code. The deputy commissioner awarded those benefits. We appealed to the commission, and the commission, as I said, with Commissioner Rappaport dissenting, affirmed. We then appealed to this court. Your Honor, in this case, the first thing we want to make sure everybody understands is claimant has the burden both to produce sufficient evidence and to persuade that he is entitled to lifetime benefits as set forth in the statute.
Both of which the commission found were satisfied.
Yes, they did, and we'll discuss or talk about why they did. Your Honors, in awarding benefits, the commission, without having a medical opinion finding the claimant was disabled by a loss of pulmonary function, inferred from what basically was a pulmonary function test and a list of impairments that he met the standards of Section 504A4. That section requires four conditions to receive a lifetime award for a case such as this. There must first be an award of some level of coal worker's pneumoconiosis, which, of course, was satisfied by his earlier Stage 1 award, that he has been advised by competent medical authority not to attempt to work in a mine or dusty environment, and that he's in fact not working. Those three issues are not in contest. They were stipulated to, so that is, those are not in issue. The fourth element, and one that we're arguing about here, is that the miner must also show sufficient pulmonary function loss as shown by approved medical tests and standards to render an employee totally unable to do manual labor in a dusty environment. Our position is the commission erred in making this finding. The majority admitted that it had no medical opinion and that no medical opinion existed in the record stating that the claimant met this element. However, as I stated, based on this statement of impairments and the pulmonary function test, they inferred that finding.
This is Judge Huff. There were tests done, the CT and the PET scan and the pulmonary function test that showed the CT and the PET scan showed increased densities in the lung and the pulmonary function testing showed that there was moderate to severe pulmonary restrictions. Didn't it?
That was what was stated on the pulmonary function test. As far as the CT scans, those are not, those don't show loss of function. They show increased densities or maybe increased pneumoconiosis.
Right.
But, those were in the record.
Well, and those are all approved medical testings, aren't they?
Your Honor, what we're saying is that there needs to be some statement that from a physician that they are. A CT scan might be, but is it an approved test to show loss of pulmonary function? No, I don't believe there's any.
Counsel?
Yes.
Isn't the trier of fact entitled to infer from the combination of what the doctors said and the test results? Can't they infer?
Well, yes, they can make an inference. That's we understand that. What we're saying is their inference is only on that these, what they actually said in the report was this pulmonary function study and this list of impairments or this the moderately severe restriction and things like that. That's what they said. This infers that the minor had sufficient pulmonary function loss to render him unable to perform manual labor in a dusty environment. What we argue, and our biggest argument here, is they have basically written out that other section, that other provision, which is as shown by approved medical tests and standards. Whether they can infer an approved medical test, possibly they can. We would cite back to the commission's decision that this court affirmed in an unpublished decision of Deal versus 4-0 Mining. In this court, it was 4-0 Mining versus Deal, where there was a medical opinion. There was a medical opinion finding that the pulmonary function test showed that the miner had a disabling lung disease, could not do strenuous labor and all that, and the commission held that that was sufficient, and we don't have a problem with that. But I think that from that, the commission can, in that case, could make the inference, even though Dr. Haber, who was the physician in that case, didn't say that the pulmonary function test is a approved medical test, they can make the inference from that because he relied on it.
Go ahead, Judge Decker.
No, go ahead, Chief.
Well, in this particular case, are you saying that the fact that the primary care physician said to the patient, to the claimant, you should not return to the mines, that fell short of the what's required by the statute? He had to have instructed the patient, you must not return to a dusty environment?
Well, Your Honor, yes, partially. What we're saying is what Dr. Raj said, and that's the doctor that the commission said was the doctor that was providing his medical his pulmonary care. What he said was he shouldn't go back to a dusty environment because of the CT scan that showed he had pneumoconiosis. That meets the third element of the requirement, which is that he's advised by competent medical authority not to attempt to do work in a dusty environment. That was, we don't have a problem with that. The problem with Dr. Raj stating anything other than that is that the only pulmonary functions test and the statements of these impairments did not exist at that time. The pulmonary function test that's in the record was not done until February of 2017, and Dr. Rogers' statement is September 21st, 2016. So he could not have.
Counsel, the plain. Isn't the plain reading of the statute, though, there is no requirement that the test precede a diagnosis? The language in the statute just says that you must have, there must be sufficient pulmonary function loss as shown by approved medical tests and standards to render, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't say that the testing has to be done before the diagnosis. In other words, diagnoses can be made for any number of reasons, and as long as the medical tests and standards support that diagnosis, isn't that enough?
I'm not saying it couldn't be, but in this case, it is, because all Dr. Raj said was don't go back to working in the mines because you already have pneumoconiosis and it will only get worse. Again, what we have to understand here is the difference between pneumoconiosis and disability under this statute. We have three sections of
counsel,
the law.
Can't the fact finder, to follow up on both the other judges' questions, this is Judge Fields, can't the fact finder infer that if the doctor, the treating physician, has found that he has pneumoconiosis and that he has a restricted pulmonary capacity, and the doctor opines that if you go back into a dusty environment, you've worked there for 32 years, if you go back in a dusty environment, it's going to get worse, and you already have a restricted capacity, lung capacity, why isn't that enough for the commission as fact finder to determine what it did, even on prong number four that you're referring to?
Well, I believe you're conflating two and three. Number one, of course, is you have to have pneumoconiosis. Okay, so it doesn't matter whether he has stage one pneumoconiosis or stage two pneumoconiosis. The only thing is if he had stage three, which, of course, is complicated under this court's Vanover decision, he doesn't have to show the pulmonary function loss. But if he doesn't show stage three or complicated pneumoconiosis, then he must show all of those. And you're rendering one of those, of either the second or the third, superfluous. What I would say in specific to this case is Dr. Raj had no pulmonary function studies at the time he examined him. There was no statement in the second report, which was on the same day as the pulmonary function study, that even mentioned the pulmonary function study. Again, I don't think that you can say just because a doctor says he's got pneumoconiosis and can't go back to work or can't go back into a dusty environment, that that means he's totally disabled. There's a lot of doctors, in fact, the only, they say there's no cure for pneumoconiosis. The only way to prevent it is not to get exposed. And the only way to stop it is to not become exposed anymore. So that's why there is that provision. The provision that, getting back to the, can the commission infer? Yes, they can, but they have to have sufficient evidence on which to base that inference. And the example I would have is if a radiologist read a X-ray of the back and wrote on it, this shows a moderately severe herniated disc. Would the commission have the ability to infer from that that the employee is totally disabled? I can't see how that can happen. There's got to be, and we believe Commissioner Rappaport's decision, his dissent in this, is exactly right. There needs to be a medical opinion.
Just so you're aware, you're entering your last 2 minutes.
Okay. I'll rest there. And the last 2 minutes before my 2 minutes?
No. You're entering your rebuttal time. You can use it now if you want, but I just wanted to make sure you were aware.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. I'll proceed. The problem here is,
Judge Beals, if I don't want to enter your rebuttal time, but if you're proceeding, I mean, with Commissioner Rappaport's dissent, isn't that based entirely on factual findings and credibility determinations? And so, therefore, if we were the fact finder, we might decide to go that route. But if we are an appellate court, why would that be persuasive in making us reverse the commission if we're not the fact finder?
You're right. The thing here is it's claimant's burden, and there's nothing impossible or hard or anything of a claimant getting a doctor's opinion that he's totally disabled based on a pulmonary function test. But we don't have that here. What we have is the commission making an inference upon inference that allows claimant to meet his burden of proof. And that's just, if claimant loses this case, if this court were to reverse it, he can come back and file again. So he's not suffering any problem. What we're saying is almost every case that's involved in workers' comp on a medical issue, disability, whatever, needs and requires some sort of medical statement from a physician. So that's where we're coming from, is the commission can make inferences on factual issues all the time, I think it's kind of hard for them to make for this court to look at them and say you can make medical conclusions as well. If Dr. Raj's opinion, as it was after that pulmonary function test, maybe they could, but it's not. It's before. It's before any of these impairments were listed. So based on that, I just think that this court can reverse this because there isn't sufficient evidence to support that inference. And I believe that the Commissioner Rappaport is exactly right. He's just saying, he's basically saying this case should be decided just like Deal was, which you had a medical report, a physician saying he has this approved medical test, he's disabled by this, by that test. But we don't have that here. All we have is the commission inferring that.
Well, counsel, let me just follow up on that, and I'm sure Chief Judge Huff will give you your 2 minutes of rebuttal, but it seems to me that what you're saying is that the treating physician needs to use some magical words of sorts, and that you can't base a diagnosis on anything except the test. And I just don't see that in the case law. I'm just asking you to explain that piece.
Well, Your Honor, in this case, it's a little more precise as to what you have to have as opposed to whether you have a back injury or whether you have a shoulder injury or whether you're disabled. This says medical tests and standards. What we're looking at here is Deal did not use any magic words. Dr. Haber said the pulmonary function test shows that this man has disabling lung disease. He cannot do strenuous activity, and he cannot do his coal mine job. We have no problem with whether that's an inference by the commission or it's just a finding that meets the standard of the act, because it clearly shows that he has pulmonary function loss, and it's based on testing, and it's based on standards that have rendered him unable to do manual labor in a dusty environment. Of course, if he can't do his regular job, he can't do manual labor in a dusty environment. So, we think that clearly this is a little bit different than the run-of-the-mill disability case, but we still think it is even more important and more required that there be medical opinion addressing the tests and addressing the standards.
What about the fact that you've got a person who is on prescribed oxygen and bronchodilators? Dr. Raj says don't work in a dusty environment. Then you've got the pulmonary function test that Dr. Nader produced that shows moderately severe restrictive airway disease with decreased capabilities, et cetera, and then you've got your own expert who also provides support for that.
Thanks for getting me, if I can have just a little bit on that. We also raised the issue of, while we know that the commission and the deputy commissioners have, pretty wide discretion on reviewing and considering medical evidence, that's exactly it. We did have a medical opinion, and the doctor who did much broader testing than even the Dr. Nader's did specifically testifies why he did not find the minor to be disabled based on the testing. So again, we have our evidence basically rejected by the deputy commissioner, and the commission affirms that, and then all we have is this with really no opinion saying, getting all the factors together so that the commission can then draw a small inference. I mean, this inference is pretty broad, and they don't talk about Dr. Raj's findings or these. They just talk about the PFT and these findings of reasonably severe, the restrictive, and all that kind of stuff.
We've been pretty liberal with the time.
I'll sit down and I'll wait my 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you, sir, Mr. Phipps.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. The evidence in this case of Mr. McCoy, Dr. Raji rendered the opinion that he did in September of 2016, but when he examined McCoy, he came on a referral from the primary care, Dr. Raji being a pulmonologist, and he noted that the claimant was already on oxygen, was on bronchodilators, and you know, was seen again then February 7th. The pulmonary function test that was performed by Dr. Nadar, interpreted, also a pulmonologist, was supportive of meeting the test regarding approved sufficient pulmonary function loss. The PFTs, you know, that speaks for himself. Even the PFT by the defense examiner showed pulmonary function loss. And in fact, when in March of 17, McCoy was examined by the defense medical examiner, he noted that he was not only on bronchodilators, but was on supplemental oxygen at 2 liters a minute at all times.
Let me ask you this. All of that supports the award that he already had for pneumoconiosis, but isn't something more required get an award for permanent disability, which is what we're dealing with here, and therefore doesn't there have to be something more explicit that there's a medical opinion based on approved medical testing that says he's permanently, totally disabled?
Regarding the initial award, actually, that's determined by interpretation of basically x-rays only. And the commission here had much more medical evidence in front of it. I do understand the code talks about the approved medical test, the pulmonary function loss, but I think the commission used not only the pulmonary function testing, but they look at the entire body of medical evidence in front of it, the PET scans, the CT scans, all of the prior readings that have been done. They looked at all of that and concluded and made a reasonable inference that this rendered the employee totally unable to do manual labor in a dusty environment.
Mr. Phipp?
Yes.
Going back to your opposing counsel's position, you've got the commission looking at all of the medical evidence and looking at the various things that the doctors said and reaching a conclusion, which is essentially a medical conclusion. Do you have any authority that that would suggest that they could reach that conclusion on their own without a doctor specifically saying it?
I think that, and I don't have a particular case site for you, but I think the commission makes reasonable inferences all the time in cases. In fact, in the case of Four-Old Mining versus Deal, that was an unpublished opinion from this court regarding not this particular, if you will, part two that Mr. Gresham alleged talked about, but the next part, which did talk about medical authority not to attempt to do work in mine or dusty environment. In that case, what the doctor said is should not work in a dusty environment. And in that case, actually, when it was in front of the commission, Rappaport found that that was adequate to meet the test. And in fact, he said that in that case, Deal had met the restriction from work or a dusty environment from Dr. Lyle. So that's an example of the commission inferring a little beyond what actually was stated in the words. And really the same was true in Paramount Coal versus Vanover. That was an unpublished opinion as well. I'm sorry, I said Dr. Lyle. That was the Vanover case. In Deal, what Haber had said was that he was unable to do manual labor in a dusty environment, that wasn't the magic words of Part 3 of the statute. So the commission is not unusual at all that when they look at the totality of the facts, that they would make reasonable inferences. And that's what they've done in this case. The Workers' Comp Act, of course, is a remedial statute, should be liberally construed in favor of the worker. And that's what justice in this case is indicating. All of the medical evidence, the pulmonary function test, and the other related evidence that the commission certainly could look at in reaching their inferences, clearly supported Dr. Raju's opinion. And I'm glad to answer any questions that the court may have.
Hearing none, it sounds like we understand your position. I trust that concludes your argument, Mr. Phipps.
It does. Thank you very much, Judge Huff.
Thank you, sir, and thank you, Mr. Gresham. By my count, your 15 minutes stretched into nearly 20. So I think we adequately have heard from both sides. We understand the case. It's being submitted, and so that will conclude the hearing and conclude the docket for the day.
Thank you both.
Thank you, counsel. We appreciate your argument.
Thank you. Thank you very much.